We thank the Lord for the privilege of being with you all tonight, and I hope that we will be able to bring something that will encourage all of us to live for the Lord in this life. I would like to say that God doesn't force anyone to live for Him. He's not interested in making anybody do His will, forcing them against their will. He will, and He has, and He always will, make a way for us to live for Him and do His will, but He's not going to make us do it. And if we don't want to do it, He's going to let us do what we want to do. He will deal with us. He will work in special ways to help us. But the decision is up to you and to me.
Amen.
Young and old, listen to this. God's not going to make you live for Him. But you'll have to come to a place where you'll make up your mind, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to do.
Amen.
So I pray the Lord to help us. That's the thought I have on my heart. I'd like to talk for a little while on is being decided, making the right decision for God. I want to notice first in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and 26. God is speaking through Moses to the children of Israel. And they have just come from the long journey of from Egypt over through the wilderness. And it is time for them soon to go into the promised land.
Pardon me.
And so Moses is having a special talk with them and address with them as they are facing that future of going into the land of Canaan. So this is Moses talking. And he says here, in Deuteronomy 11 and 26, he says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known." So you see, he has a blessing and a curse. And it's the same way today. He has a blessing, but he also has a curse. And what decides whether what it will be a blessing or a curse to me is what I do about it. If I am willing and to be obedient to Him, then I will have the blessing. But if I refuse to obey, then I will have the curse. That's just that simple, plain old talk. But that's the truth. That's the way God is. He's got a blessing for a person that will be willing to repent of their sins, to turn away from this world, to give up self and their own desires and yield to Him. He's got wonderful blessings all in store. But He's got a curse for the person that draws back and says, I want to go my own way. I want to do my own thing. Now, another place I want to go to is Deuteronomy 30 and 15. This kind of says it again somewhat like that, 30 and 15. "See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil." That's what he set before, life and good or death and evil. He's setting that before us today. It is our place, it is our decision that will decide on what we're going to have in this life. If we want blessings, if you want God to help you, if you want God to guide you, lead you, instruct you, bless you, comfort you, strengthen you, protect you, and be with you, then you must yield and submit yourself to His will and according to His Word. We must study His Word, His commandments. We must get in mind what He has to say about things and then submit ourselves and yield ourselves. Now, this is what happened to the first man and woman in history, Adam and Eve. God created them, but He created them with a free moral agency. He had we are free moral agents. He doesn't force anybody. He doesn't make anybody serve Him. He just brings it out. He lets you know what He wants. Then it's up to you to think and ponder and weigh and count the cost and then make the decision to go the way of the Lord. That's what He wants us to do. Now I want to go to Joshua 24 and 16. And this is Joshua as he comes to the end of his labors and life for the Lord. This is what he says to the children of Israel. Again, it's something like Moses said. It says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He had his mind made up. Praise the Lord. Joshua had it all settled in his mind. We was going to serve the Lord. Now, he says, you choose. It's up to you. Talking to the children of Israel. And just by way of a side thought, you study the history of Israel. God's supposed to be people. You will find that they so much of the time and too much of the time chose their own way. And did not yield to His ways. It's over and over and over. He had trouble with that nation of Israel wanting to do their own thing instead of submitting to His will. So, that's just the way it still is today. He has blessings for you. He has help for you. He has examples in the Word that shows what He can do for you, and He is willing, He's desirous, but you've got to make the decision. Nobody's going to come and push you on. You've got to make up your decision. I remember one time when I was a little boy, I went to summer school there at Guthrie. I lived in Guthrie, Oklahoma, and they had a summer school in the summertime, and they had games and crafts, and they had different things, and they had one part of the summer school was the big boys, and they played basketball, and they worked in the shop and made things and this and that, and then they had the little group. The little group was up in the upper stairs, and they would have crafts and draw pictures and color and do this and that, you know. Well, I was kind of in between the two. I was not quite a big boy, and I was bigger than the little boys. So I was drawn. I would go up and with the big boys one day, and I'd kind of be around with them. Next day, I'd be up with the little folks and have a little fun with them. And finally, one day, the principal, he met me in the little hallway between the two places. He stopped me and he said, now listen, Leslie, you're going to have to make a decision of what you're going to do. You got to quit doing both of them. You can't do both of them. Now, if you want to come out here and be with the big boys and be one of them, come on out and do it. But if you want to go up here with the little folks, you've got to do it. Go ahead and do that. And he says, if you don't know what you want to do, I'll decide it for you. Opened up the door and says, just go on home. Now, you know, I remember that. I remember that. That stirred me. That helped me to make a decision. I had to decide on it. If I wasn't going to make a decision, I'm out of the whole thing. If I remember right, I think I went back with the little folks. Anyway, that's the way it is with God. God, you know, there are people that they'll serve the Lord a while and then they'll give up and go back and just in and out and back. And the Lord don't want that. You don't have to do that. You're not happy. You're not decided. You don't have your mind made up. And what's he going to do? He's going to set you out one of these days. He's not going to put up with that.
Yes.
If you want to serve Him, serve Him.
Amen.
Give up the world. Yes. Give up everything. Quit doing the things that's wrong and displeasing to God.
Amen.
You give Him your everything. Put your whole into it. Whole heart into it. And if you're not going to do that, why, go on back out to the world. You've got to make up your mind. And then I want to notice another place in Isaiah chapter 1 where the prophet, here's about the same thing he's telling these people up here in Isaiah chapter 1. Oh, may the Lord help us to make a decision, make a right decision for God and give up the world, give up self and give up the flesh and give up things in the world that's detrimental and displeasing to God and wrong and hurtful and injurious to us. Give up those things and really just apply ourselves to serve God. That's what we've got to do. This is what it says in Isaiah 1, starting at verse 16. He's dealing with them. The prophet is dealing with Israel, just like Moses and just like Joshua had dealt with them. You've got to make a decision. So here's what it says. Here's what he tells them to do. It tells them in the verse before that, he said, your hands are full of blood. I will not hear when you make many prayers. They have just not been doing the right thing.
Amen.
Well, here's what he said to do. Wash you. Make you clean.
Amen.
Wash you.
Yes.
In other words, cleanse yourself from all wrong.
Amen.
Quit doing the thing. Quit lying and stealing. Quit running after the world.
Amen.
Quit going after the things of this flesh that are detrimental and harmful. Quit doing that. Wash you. Make you clean.
Amen.
Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Quit doing those things that I'm displeased with.
Amen.
Cease to do evil. Learn to do well.
Amen.
You know, I've found out in my Christian life, to be successful, I've got to put everything into it.
Amen.
If you want to learn a trade, you know, to learn how to do work, how are you going to do it? Get in there and learn
Amen.
It. Be teachable.
Amen.
How do you do this? And apply yourself and work at it.
Yes.
That's the way you get success about anything.
Amen.
You've got to apply yourself.
Yes.
And he goes on to say, cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek
Amen.
Judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Help others. Do what's right in
Amen.
God's sight. Apply yourself.
Yes.
One place in the Proverbs just speaks about apply yourself to wisdom. Apply yourself. Try to learn. Get in there. I want to know how to do this. I want to live for Jesus. Would you help me, Lord? And
Amen.
Pray and seek the Lord.
Yes.
Then he goes on to say, come now, let us reason together.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
You know, God's a reasonable God.
Yes. Amen.
That's right.
Yes.
He's a good God.
Yes.
He's a wonderful God.
Amen.
He's been a help to me. He's my strength in my life.
Praise the Lord.
He's helped me through all kinds of hard places in life.
Amen.
He's faithful.
Yes.
Come now, let us reason together.
Praise the Lord.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow.
Praise the Lord.
Though they be like crimson, they'll be as wool. Red like paint. I want to forgive you of your sins.
Amen.
I want to save you.
Yes.
I come now, let's reason. Let's reason this. Let's talk this thing over.
Yes. Amen.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow.
Yes.
Though they be red like crimson, they'll be as wool. If, you know that little word if is a big word.
Amen.
If ye be willing and obedient
Yes.
You'll eat the good of the land.
Amen.
Oh, dear ones, I wish I could just bring out that good of the land. What all that means, what all that involves.
Amen.
The good of living consecrated and dedicated and in the service of the Lord.
Amen.
It's a happy life.
Yes.
It's a blessed life.
Amen.
To live holy.
Yes.
To live honestly.
Amen.
To live humbly.
Yes.
To live in meekness and love and forgiveness and gentleness and kindness and
Amen.
Patience and trueness and love.
Yes.
It's good.
Yes.
If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land.
Yes.
But if you refuse and rebel, if you draw back, if you just won't obey, if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured with the sword.
Amen.
For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it.
Amen.
I tell you, dear one, it just means a lot to make the right decision in life. I thank the Lord that I made the decision.
Amen.
Back in 1954, 55, I was in high school. I love the worldly throng. I love the worldly ways. I love the worldly people. I love the worldly songs they were singing. I loved all those things. I had some strict parents, though, that held the line on me, and I thank God for that. But in my heart, I hadn't yielded like I should. And I went on, and I would go to church, and I'd hear the gospel preached, and I'd hear the sermons. I'd get under conviction. I remember one night my pastor, Brother O.C. Porter, brought a message, and his thought was, "What are you doing with your life?"
Yes.
I'll tell you, that struck me. That was Brother, what's his name? It would be your great grandpa, wouldn't it? Or
it's my grandfather.
Your grandfather. He was my pastor.
Amen.
And his thought was, "What are you doing with your life?"
Amen.
I'll tell you, brother, that got hold of me.
Amen.
That struck me, and I tried to straighten up. I thought, I just gotta do something better.
Yes.
I went out in the woods. I lived out in the country, and I went out in the woods, and I got out and prayed. Didn't get anywhere. I got up trembling. I thought, I'm in a terrible shape. I tell you, dear ones, God is so good.
Yes.
He kept dealing with me. I was about a senior in high school at that time. I had a girlfriend out in the world. I loved her. She was a worldly girlfriend. She was nice in a lot of ways, but I knew in my heart that she wasn't the one that God would want me to have. He had something better. He had a saint girl for me somewhere.
Amen.
And I remember one evening I was playing out at my house there. We lived about 5 miles north of Brother O.C. Porter. He lived about 5 miles south of us. And I was out running. I had a little deal I got from the cereal box. A little thing you hang on your belt and it'll tell you how far you run. And I put that on and I was running to see how far I could run. And it was time of day when the sun had gone down and it wasn't quite dark and yet it was still a little bit of daylight. So I couldn't see and I didn't see the guide wire of an electric pole. You know, a steel wire that sets up there and it comes down and helps hold the pole up. I didn't see that. And I was running at top speed. And I hit that thing and it went just like that. It threw me on my face. And when I got up, I was bleeding out of the mouth and the nose. Oh, I thought I'm in trouble now. I ran to the house. Mama, I hurt myself. I just bleed. Just bleed. Oh, she said, "Well, come on." She laid me down on the couch and she got some towels and she began to try to stop the blood and it just kept on running. She got on the phone and called Brother C. Porter. Him and his wife and their daughter, which was Brother Doug's mother. She was a young girl. They all came up to pray for me. I laid there. I kept bleeding. I knew I was in trouble. Finally, I began to pray to myself. Brother Porter was praying. And I told the Lord, I prayed to myself. I said, Lord, if you'll stop this blood, I'm going to promise you I'll live for you. In just a little bit, the blood was stopped. God answered prayer. I didn't do it right away, I'm sorry to say, but I never forgot that promise that I made. I knew I made a promise that I would get saved. And I want to tell you, that summer, after I graduated, that summer, while I was out working for my uncle out west of town in the farm work, I gave my heart to the Lord. I gave up the world. I gave up my worldly music. I gave that worldly girlfriend. I gave up everything. I made a decision. I'm going to live for Jesus the rest of my life.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
And I have, thank God. I've never given up. I've never turned back to the world. I've held my decision all these years. And I want to say, dear ones, God, that's what God wants. And I have never regretted it. Oh, how many times I said, oh, I'm so glad I gave it all up and gave my heart to the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I've said that over and over again.
Amen.
Listen, dear ones, God wants us to give our hearts to Him. Now, I would like to make mention, try not to be too lengthy with this, but this is my thought. I want to encourage young people, especially all of you children, young people, and any of the older folks, if you haven't really done this, well, then you need to think about it too. Well, I'm not up here to pound anybody, make anybody do anything. I'm just a witness for the Lord.
Yes.
Because I know what it is. I know what really true decision is.
Amen.
Anyway, I was thinking about different ones in the Bible that made a decision for God. First one I want to mention about was Abel. He was the son of Adam and Eve.
Amen.
He was the younger son. He had an older brother, Cain.
Yes.
And his decision was self and all these other things.
Amen.
He didn't do right. Cain never did straighten up. He didn't do right. But Abel made a decision to do the right thing.
Amen.
And when they brought the sacrifices to offer to God, Cain, he just brought up the fruit of the ground. He just brought, wasn't anything special. He just brought some of the fruit of the ground that he had grown and offered it. And the Lord didn't mean anything to him. But Abel brought a young lamb from his flock, the very best that he had. And he offered that as a sacrifice. And he was sorry for his sins. And he was praying God for mercy. And God looked on Abel and he was pleased.
Abel
made the decision to do what was right. You can do that too. We can all do that. You don't care what the world is. Got ungodly brothers and ungodly neighbors and people in the world. Don't let them hinder you.
Yes.
Abel made the decision.
Abel.
Then the next one I want to notice was Noah.
Yes.
Noah was back there when the world as a general rule was against God and going the wrong way.
Abel.
That's what he lived. He lived among that society. And God said, I'm going to destroy this world with a flood.
Amen.
He already made it. And before he talked to Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You find it over there in the 6th chapter of Genesis.
Amen.
And the chapters are following. That Noah, he was trying to please God. His definite decision was to please God. And not go the way the world was going.
Amen.
And so God spoke to Noah. And says, I want you to build an ark, to save your house.
Yes.
And he told Noah how to build it, what the sizes were, what to build it out of, how big to make it.
Amen.
What Noah had in the secret to make.
Yes.
What did he do? He went right in and started doing it.
Amen.
He was faithful. Yes. Noah was faithful. Hebrews 11:7 says it like this. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, prepared an ark for the saving of his house.
Yes.
And by it he obtained the witness that he was righteous and condemned the world.
Amen.
Because he was obedient to God.
Yes.
Oh yes, that was Noah. He was faithful. He made the decision.
Amen.
He had three sons and their daughters, and he had his own wife, and they all just was right together. They got right in on that ark, and been, I tell you, that was a big job.
Yes.
You go to comparing that big old ark, 300 feet long. Oh, three stories high. Oh, that was a big job, but they got it done.
Amen.
And he was faithful.
Yes.
Then I think about one of my greatest heroes and persons that I admire in the Old Testament. And you know who that is? Abraham.
Abraham.
Abraham made the decision
Abraham.
To live for God.
Yes.
Hebrews 11, in that 11th chapter, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a land which he would afterward receive an inheritance, obeyed and went out not knowing where he was going.
Abraham.
That's what Abraham did. God spoke to him and said, Abram, get thee up and out of thy country and thy kindred and thy father's house and go to a land that I'll show you. He didn't even tell him where he was going. He said, I'll tell you about it later.
Yes.
Abraham made the decision.
Abram.
And he went out not even knowing where he went. That was the first decision that he made for God. He made six more. You know what they are? After he got out and left his country and his kindred, and he had his nephew Lot and his wife Sarah, and they went and they came to the land of Canaan. And while they were living in the land of Canaan, Ham and Lot had some conflict with their shepherdsmen and all. And finally they just come to the place. Abram said to Lot, he said, Lot, and God had already showed Abram that this was going to be his land, the land of Canaan. See? But he told Lot, he says, Lot, he said, the land is before you. You take whatever you want. And I'll take what's left. Let's not have any trouble. He said, we're brethren. We don't want to have trouble. And so Lot, he looked out and he saw the best part of the land. He took that. Abraham let him do it. And after he was through then, though, God told Abraham, said, now lift up your eyes. Everywhere you look, I'm going to give it to you.
Amen.
See, if you'll make the right decision, God will stand with you.
Amen.
That was Abraham's second decision. All right, the third decision was whenever Lot moved down there in the land around Sodom and Gomorrah, and some old kings come back from another country and they captured and took all the people of Sodom, including Lot and his family, and took them captive. And Abraham, he got his servants together and he went after them, and God helped him to fight and win a battle against those people. And he rescued Lot and brought him back, and all the people of Sodom brought them all back. Abraham, the Lord helped him to do that.
Abraham.
And whenever he got back, why, the king of Sodom said, well, and also he not only did that, but he got all the goods that those kings had stolen. He brought them all back. He had a lot of wealth and gold and silver, and he brought it all back.
Abraham.
And the man, the king of Sodom, said, you've done well, Abram, give me my people back, and you can have all the goods.
Praise the Lord.
What did Abram do? Did he take them? No. He says, no. He says, I've lifted up my hand to the God of heaven that I won't take from a thread to a shoe latchet. I won't take anything that's yours, lest you say you made me rich. He made that decision. He was not after material wealth. Did you know that's what gets a lot of people in trouble today? Is the love of money.
Yes.
You better watch that thing. I want to tell you, it'll ruin you. Love of money. Want wealth. Abram rejected that. He didn't want that. That was a decision he made.
Yes.
Then the fourth one was, God was talking to him and dealing with him, encouraging him. Abram was a man that didn't have any children. He didn't have his wife. He got old. She was barren and she couldn't have. And so he, and yet the Lord said, in your seed, all nations are going to be blessed. Well, you know, God has promised, but he couldn't see anything to see how it's going to come to pass.
Amen.
But God was dealing with him.
Yes.
And God said one day, he said, come outside, Abram. Took him outside and said, look up at the stars. See all those stars? Yes, Lord. The Lord said, so shall your seed be, your people, your offspring, your descendants. They're going to be like the stars. And you know what it says there in Genesis? It says, Genesis 15 and 6, I believe it is. Anyway, it's one, just maybe 14. He said he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He decided, I'm going to believe God. I tell you what, that's what you and I've got to do. We've got to make a decision, going to trust God and believe him and follow him. All right? That was the number four. And then, after that, God made a special covenant with Abraham and that he would bless him and change his name to Abraham. It was Abram. And he changed his Sarai, his wife, her name was to be Sarah. And Abraham took that covenant, accepted it, and did what God told him. That was a decision he made. Then, in the sixth chapter, or the sixth decision he made, was a real difficult one. But he made it for God. In the meantime, somehow he had, which is not a very good thing, but that's the way people did sometimes. He had a little child, a little son with another, with a servant woman that they brought in from Egypt. His name was her name was Hagar, and the little boy's name was Ishmael. And after Isaac, see Sarah, she finally, the Lord helped her to have a little baby when she was past age.
Yes.
She had a little baby boy named Isaac.
Abraham.
And after Isaac was born, Sarah said, she looked out and she saw Hagar and Ishmael standing out there, and Ishmael was balking at Isaac, her son, that was the promised son.
Abraham.
And she told Abram, she said, Abram, you get rid of Hagar and Ishmael. You send them away. And Abram didn't want to do that. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. And he looked to God, and the Lord said, go ahead and do what Sarah said. Send Hagar and Ishmael, send them away. I'll take care of them. I'll take care of them. I'll be with them. And so Abram, he obeyed that. He made the decision. He took Hagar and gave her some water and some food and told her, said, you're going to have to live. Well, you know, sometimes you have to do what God says. It hurts.
Yes.
Abram.
But Abram was obedient.
Yes.
He turned her loose. Then what do you think the last thing that Abraham had to obey God in, make a decision about?
Abram.
In the 22nd chapter of Genesis, you read about it. God said to Abraham one day, Isaac, according to Josephus, Jewish historian, Isaac had grown to be a young man, 25 years old. And God said to Abraham, said, Abram, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, and go into the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of those altars. I'll show you. You going to go all the way with God?
Abraham.
Did you know God's going to? He's not going to tell you to do something like that. He is testing Abraham. But he's going to ask you to do things that's going to try you to the limit. Oh,
yes.
To be obedient.
Amen.
What did Abraham do? Oh, God, I can't do that. Well, that's my son. I can't do that. He didn't say that.
Amen.
He just got Isaac up, got things together, got a couple of servants to go. They started out.
Yes.
He had a 2 days trip.
Amen.
This man was decided to obey God.
Yes.
And this is all recorded to help us. Because there's times you're going to be told to do something. The Lord's going to lead you to do something that will be against your desires.
Amen.
Now, I'm not to say what that is, but it's for you and I to live close enough to God so we can know what He wants us to do.
Amen.
And he went to the land of Moriah. It was over a 2 days' journey. Got up there, the Lord showed him where the place was ahead. God, he said, there it is up ahead.
Amen.
He got up there and he built an altar. This is one of the most touching scenes in the Bible to me.
Amen.
He built an altar. And the Bible doesn't tell all about it, but I refer to Jewish historian Josephus. He wrote about the Jewish people. He wrote a lot of things. And he tells in this account, and I have no reason to doubt what he says.
Amen.
But he said that Abraham built that altar.
Yes.
And then he talked to his son. You know, he'd have to talk to him.
Amen.
He'd have to talk to him and tell him what he's getting ready to do. And Josephus says that Abraham spoke to Isaac. He said, Isaac, I prayed many prayers for you.
Amen.
And God gave you to me as my son and as my offspring,
yes,
my nations. But he said, son, God has told me to come and offer you up as a burnt offering.
Amen.
And I want to ask you to just be willing to let God have his way. It's hard, but I have decided I'm going to obey God.
Yes.
And Josephus says that Isaac looked up his father and said, Father, I was never worthy to be born to start with. And if this is what God wants you to do, I want you to go ahead and do it. I'm going to let you do it. And he went and got up on the altar himself, Isaac. I tell you, that's one of the most touching scenes of the Bible.
Amen.
Here's Abraham. You know what the Lord's done? He's testing his decision.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's what he's doing.
Amen.
And Isaac put him on the altar there, tied him up. Then Abraham took the knife. You see, a burnt offering.
Yes.
It's an awful thing. But that's what a burnt offering is. You kill the sacrifice,
Amen,
an animal or whatever. You kill it and shed its blood, and then you burn it up on the altar. And so Abraham, he took the knife to kill his son. He took the knife, and what happened? Abraham, Abraham!
Yes.
Yeah, here am I. Don't you lay your hand on that son of yours.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, dear ones.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yes. Amen.
Now he says, God said, the angel speaking for God, he said, now I know that you fear me.
Yes.
See,
Lord,
you have not withheld your only son,
Amen,
from me. And he said, I'm going to bless you,
yes,
by myself and by sworn, saith the Lord, that I'm going to bless you. Blessing, I'll bless you. Multiply, I'll multiply your seed above the stars of heaven.
Yes.
And it said, all the earth will be blessed in you because,
Amen,
you obeyed my voice.
Yes.
Don't you know they were happy?
Amen.
Abraham turned around and what did he see? He saw a ram caught in the bush by his horns. He just took that ram and offered it up in the stead of his son as a sacrifice. And don't you know they went down the road, down the mountain together. I don't know if there's any songs to sing. I imagine they sang. I imagine Abraham said, Isaac, can't you see how it pays to obey God?
Amen.
Oh, yes, Father. I'm going to always obey God. Amen. I'm going to do what's right.
Yes.
You showed me this. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Oh, I tell you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Make the right decision for God, young people. Young girls and young boys. Amen. I'm concerned about you. I can't be here to... Nobody can always be there. You've got to make up your mind yourself.
Amen.
Yes.
And you've got to do it. You've got to get your mind open. Open up to God and know what He wants you to do.
Amen.
Walk in all the light of His Word. You know He teaches you to give up the world and its fashions and follies.
Yes.
You give up the world. I gave up the world. I'm telling you.
Amen.
I gave up my plans. I wanted to go to college and be a draftman. I wanted to make a lot of money. I wanted to have a big, fine home. And I wanted to have a beautiful wife and children. All that. I gave all that up. I gave up my plans to go to college. And all that. I just looked to the Lord to direct me.
Amen.
And the Lord has been good. He's helped me.
Yes.
Oh, dear Lord. Abraham had those seven choices to make. And he went all the way for God. Rahab, she was a woman in Jericho. And whenever she heard and saw that Israel was coming and they were going to conquer Jericho, and everybody else was against Israel, and she knew, she heard what they were God's people. And she heard what God did to some of the nations that come against Israel, and she just said, I'm going to give up. She didn't want to go against God. She was a woman in Jericho. And there were two spies that God sent into Jericho to spy out and see about things. And she met them, and she let them in her house, and she says, you're men of Israel, aren't you? I know why you're here. You're checking us out. She says, listen, I want to help you because I want to be one of your people. And I want you to spare me. And she says, I'll take care of you. And she took him up and hid him on top of her house. And the people of Jericho come and looking for him. They knew there were some spies around. They come looking for him, and she hid him. She wouldn't let him know where they were. And after they'd gone away, she got these men up and she said, now, I'm going to let you down this window on the wall. She lived on a house or a room on the wall. She said, I'm going to let you down. And said, when you come back to take this city, I want you to spare me and my family. And they said, we'll do it. She made the decision. She's mentioned in Hebrews 11. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that had perished, because she received the spies with peace and sent them out another way. She made that decision. And whenever Joshua and the men of Israel came and the walls of Jericho went tumbling down, that was one of the first things he told them to do. Go and see about Rahab. And he went. And you know what he found? He found her house about full of people. They were all there ready waiting. And they say, do you want to save your life when the world, Lord, comes to judge this world and to burn it up and destroy it? Do you want? Make your decision now. I'm going to go for God.
Yes.
I'm going to live for God. That's what my hope is right now. I don't have to... I'm not letting myself get afraid of anything that's coming on this world. All kinds of crazy stuff's happening. People are doing all kinds of things. It's not bothering me because my hope is beyond this world.
Yes.
What I want to do, I want to be ready. I want to be accepted of God in that day.
Amen.
You just do that. You make your decision for God. Another one that made a decision for God was Moses.
Amen.
Moses was born down in Egypt. And there was a decree out that all the little Israelite male babies were to be thrown into the River Nile. And his mother hid him. She knew of that decree and she hid Moses for several months. And then finally, she decided she'd make a little basket and a boat basket. She put him out in the river and covered him over and put him out in the river there and told her little daughter, said, "You watch and see what goes on."
Amen.
And here come the daughter of the king of Pharaoh.
Amen.
Down to bathe in the river with she and her maids. And she saw that little basket out there. And she said, "Go get that. What is that?" And they brought it in. There was a little sweet baby.
Amen.
What? Oh, this is one of the Israelite babies.
Amen.
Say, I'm going to adopt this little boy. I'm going to take him for my own. And
Amen.
This little girl come running up and said, "Princess, would you like to have somebody take care of the little baby?" And she says, "Yes." Well, she went and got her own mother.
Amen.
And her own mother got to take care of the little baby, and she was protected. And Moses grew up as a daughter of Pharaoh's daughter, as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He grew up and he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and it looked like he could be in a Pharaoh himself.
Amen.
But something happened.
Yes.
And he made a decision.
Yes.
What was he? Remember?
Yes,
he looked out and he saw those people that were being persecuted, that were being in bondage in Egypt. He looked out and saw them, and he knew they were his people.
Yes.
And he took a decision. By faith, Moses, when he come to years, Hebrews 11 tells this, by faith, Moses, when he come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Amen.
Accounting that being willing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Amen.
You know, that's what we've got to do.
Yes. Yes.
Are you willing to be called a saint of God?
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Are you willing to be modest and plain and humble and holy and pure and righteous like a saint of God?
Yes. Amen.
I'd rather do that and suffer death and suffer a crucifixion or whatever,
yes,
at the stake, whatever. I'd rather do that than
Amen.
Be one of God's people.
Yes, praise the Lord.
That's what I've made my decision. I want to go all the way with God.
Amen.
It might bring us out, shoot us down,
Amen.
Burn us at the stake, cut our heads off. Did you know a lot of God's people has had to be done that way?
Amen.
Lots of people of God down,
yes,
through the years, they've been killed. They've been burned at the stake.
Amen.
They've had their heads cut off.
Yes.
They've been terribly persecuted.
Amen.
I'd rather be that. Rather persecute, suffer persecution with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for seeing. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible.
Amen.
Moses made that decision. And God blessed him.
Yes.
Isaiah made the decision. Had that vision in the temple. And the voice of the Lord says, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?"
Amen.
What did Isaiah say? "Here am I, send me."
Amen.
Can you say that?
Amen.
"Lord, what do you want me to do?"
Yes.
Who said that? Old Saul that became Paul?
Amen.
He was out persecuting the saints, persecuting the children of God, the believers of Christ. He is out personally going up to Damascus, to really work against him up there. And Jesus saw him down from above, smote him to the ground, and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me?"
Amen.
He said, "Lord, who are you?" He said, "I'm Jesus whom you persecute."
Amen.
It's hard for you to kick against the pricks.
Yes.
What did he say then? "Lord, what do you want me to do?" He gave it all up. He surrendered. And then he got up and just started doing what the Lord spent his whole life the rest. He made the decision.
Amen.
How about Daniel? You know what Daniel did in the first chapter of Daniel? He and three other boys, young men,
Amen.
Had been taken as captives from Israel down to Babylon. And the king of Babylon was trying to get a bunch of young men together so that he could have them in his court. And these young men, they was going to be fed with the king's meat and the king's drink, his wine. And Daniel was a man that feared God. He's a young man. And he made this decision. He told the fellow that was running the thing, he says, "We are not going to drink of that wine and eat of that meat."
Amen.
He made it, he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't do it. He made the decision.
Amen.
And the man said, "Why? You've got to," or he says, "If you don't eat it, I'll lose my head." And Daniel says, "You give us 10 days. Try us out 10 days.
Amen.
Just let us eat. Pulse, that's vegetables. And try it out."
Amen.
And so the man said, "Well, okay, I'll let you do it." But after 10 days, they looked better than all the rest. I tell you, dear ones, you give for God and make your decision, He'll take care of you. Oh, thank you, Lord. And then you take Daniel's life on. From then on, it was victory and decision. And even whenever it come time that these men, and Daniel was up right up next to the king. And here these other men were jealous of him, and they figured out a way that they could get rid of Daniel. And so they came to the king and they said, "King, what you got to do is make a law that if anybody bows their knees and prays, worships any other god besides you, put him in the lion's den."
Amen.
And the old king, he didn't know what was back up. See, they doing that, he's trying to get rid of Daniel.
Amen.
And the king said, "All right, we'll make the decree." So they made the decree, he signed it and everything. And then these men was watching Daniel. And
Amen.
Daniel, when he knew that the decree had been signed, what did he do? Did he go back and hide back behind a door to have his prayers? Maybe he thought, maybe that's what some people would have done. "Well, I think I better not pray with my wide open window now. I better go back in there and hide myself and pray." No, he did just like he always did.
Yes.
Right out in front of the window.
Praise the Lord.
And those people saw him. And they came to the king.
Amen.
"That Daniel has denied you and went against what you said. And he offers prayer to his God three times a day."
Amen.
Oh, no. The king was sorry then that he had made that kind of a law.
Amen.
They said, "Oh, you've got to do it, king. You've got to do it." Finally, the king, he just worked through the afternoon trying to figure out some way to save Daniel. But
Amen.
These men, they said, "Oh, you've got to do it. No law can be changed." "All right, go get Daniel. I'll meet you down there at the den." And he told Daniel, he said, "Daniel, the God you serve so faithfully, He'll deliver you from the lions."
Amen.
I love that story. Old Daniel, he wasn't afraid.
Amen.
They put him in the lion's den, threw him in there, put a seal on the thing.
Amen.
Then the king went back to his his castle or room, he couldn't sleep.
Yes.
Thinking about Daniel down there.
Amen.
Finally, whenever the morning light begins to break forth early in the morning, here comes the king down to the den. Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has the God whom you serve so faithfully delivered you from the lions?
Amen.
Oh, King, live forever.
Amen.
Oh, dear ones, he made his decision.
Amen.
My God has sent his angel.
Yes.
And he shut the lion's mouths.
Amen.
And the heaven heard me.
Yes.
Because he knew that in me I've done no hurt.
First of all.
Oh. You hear that, Scott? He's alive. Get him up out of there. Come on, Daniel. We're going to get you up out of there.
Amen.
Get those other men. You know what happened to them. Oh, that's sad. It don't pay to go against God.
Amen.
You don't get anywhere.
Yes.
You make your decision to live for God. I want to close. Here's Peter and the disciples. Oh, see, they gave up all to follow Jesus.
Amen.
And then there was the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus.
Yes.
And he wanted to know what to do to obtain eternal life. Jesus
Amen.
Told him. You keep the command. Well, he says, I've kept all them. Well, what do I lack yet? Jesus says one thing you lack.
Amen.
Go and sell all that you have.
Yes.
Give it to the poor.
Amen.
Come, take up the cross and follow me. What did that young man do? What kind of decision did he make? You know, he had great riches and he
Amen.
Didn't want to give them up. And he went away sorrowful.
Amen.
Judas. What kind of decision did Judas make? You know what he decided to do? He decided to go to the chief priests and the scribes and make a deal that he would betray Jesus.
Amen.
And he'd get some money for it. 30 pieces of silver.
Amen.
That was his decision. Jesus didn't try to stop him.
Amen.
He let him do it. But whenever he saw that Jesus was not going to save himself, and Jesus was being condemned, and he was sorry, but he didn't try to straighten up and repent of it. He just went out and hung himself.
Amen.
That's what happens to a lot of people.
Yes.
They say that there are many people today are committing suicide.
Amen.
Why? Because they've taken the wrong way.
Yes.
Then we have Paul and his decision. Then we have the last one I want to think about was a man was hanging on the cross
Amen.
Beside Jesus.
Yes.
And the other man that was hanging there while they were hanging Jesus, being crucified, this one thief said, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and us.
Yes.
Why don't you save yourself and us? But the other thief
yes.
rebuked him
Amen.
And said, don't you fear God.
Yes.
For we are suffering what we ought to suffer.
Amen.
We receive a due reward for our deeds.
Yes.
But this man, talking about Jesus, he has not done anything wrong.
Amen.
And then he turned to Jesus. He made a decision.
Yes.
He said, Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
The other man wouldn't acknowledge anything. He just wanted to get out of the... He didn't want to acknowledge, but this man said, we receive the due reward.
Amen.
We're getting what's coming to him.
Yes.
But this man hadn't done anything wrong. Lord, remember me.
Yes.
And what did Jesus say? Today,
Amen.
You'll be with me in paradise.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
May the Lord help us tonight.
Praise the Lord.
Let's make up our mind to live for Jesus. Now, I
Amen.
Can't do it for you.
Yes.
Nobody else can do it for you. You got to make it up yourself.
Amen.
By the help of the Lord, I'm going to go on. I'm going to live for God.
Amen.
I'm going to do His will. I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do my very best. I tell you, dear ones, you'll never regret
Amen.
Making the right decision
yes.
to live for Him.
Yes. Praise the Lord.